If you just join me for a moment, let us say a word of prayer and we will begin. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the chance to come together with each other in Jesus' name, and to come together and open up your word and open up the truth, and to spend some time considering and looking into and actioning the plan and purpose that you have for each and every one of us. We just are grateful for this place and for this space that we have where we can meet every week, and just continue forward in the revelation, the revealed will that you have for us at this time. So as we go through the scriptures and as we spend some time, we just invite you to quicken us with your word and with your truth in Jesus' name. Okay. All right, so we are continuing on today in a series that started last week. And the title of this series is How to Change Your Life. Okay, so how to change your life. And the goal of this series is to equip the listener with tools to have a life aligned with their inbuilt purpose and life mission. So many, many times people go through life and they are alive, but they're not necessarily living. They go through life and they are doing many things, but it's not necessarily in line with the design and the purpose and the reason for being and the reason that they actually came into this paradigm. So we're doing a systematic teaching, and so and the outcome of this is to support people's practical, we have to have some practical application and some practical things that you can do. So we like to be very practical here in what we do and how we move forward. So we began with, and just a small recap of last week, we went through Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, where, and I'll just read that verse again for you, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, that ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So the scriptures tell us that for God, for his people, he has got good plans. And yet how many people spend their life wondering what those plans are? And part of the reason is because, and this is part of what we discussed last week, is that where are they looking for those plans? Many, many times people are looking for these plans all over the place, but they don't actually know where the plans are. And now Jesus clued us in on where those plans are. Luke chapter 17 and Luke chapter 17 and verse 20 was, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So, the kingdom and the dominion of the king, or the dominion of the Most High, is inside of you. Now, if you want to know the plans that are intended for you, you're going to find them first inside of you and not outside of you. So you've got to go inside first, and then from within you manifest without. And the problem is most people are looking outside to try to find what the plan and purpose is for their life and for their journey, and they never find it because they're always looking somewhere else. So we referenced a story from Tara, which was it was a parable, but it was essentially saying where they were trying to hide this beautiful treasure. They didn't want people to find it before their time. They would completely unlock the most amazing things. And the place they said, ultimately they found out the best place to hide it was inside of the person, because that's the one place they'd never look. And we'll search the highest mountain, we'll explore space, we'll go under the oceans, we'll dig here, we'll do all these things. We keep looking for everything somewhere else outside of ourselves. But the answer is always within you, and that's the starting point. So if we start to look at how to change your life, well, the initial place that we have to start looking is within. So now we spoke a little bit about the paradox of this entire journey, which is in John 10 verse 10. So it says that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but that I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So now there's also this aspect of the abundant life that is intended for people, And the external bait and switch, which is people are looking for the plan outside of themselves, they're told, oh, this will be a great plan for you. They go for this external thing, and they end up very unhappy, very unfulfilled, wasting their time, wasting their journey, and very upset about the whole process. And then they've got a bunch of other people faking it until they never make it, because they never make it when you fake it. You've got to actually go forward in what the real journey is. But so this was where we established the first part, which was, and you can go back and listen to last week's if you want to, it's up there. But the first part that we established was the plans are within you. So if you're going to start looking at how to change your life and align your life with what is going to be fulfilling for you, and this is the uniqueness of you. So there's not anyone in the world that is like you. There's one Stephen, there's one John, there's only one of you, there's only one Matt, there's only one Thomas, there's only one of you out there. And so because of that, there's going to be a uniqueness to your journey, a fulfillment that you will have that other people would not. Every one of us has certain things that, you enjoy nature a bit more than somebody else, or you're more mechanically inclined, or you like to figure things out, or you're more musical. It's just that every person's got these inclinations in their being. But in order for you to understand how that works into your life experience, that comes from inside, where, and then from there you go without. So to come into that alignment of your with self, with who you are, and then the plans that are there. Now, one of the places that people sometimes get stuck before we go into the new information is that they oftentimes, when it comes to the plans, what they want is they want a blueprint. And the thing is that what God often does is gives you a map and a compass. It's people want to have everything figured out and all the pieces together, and then maybe, just maybe, they'll do it. And we talked about this one last week. Most people want to know the plan for your life so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. That was one thing told to me when I was traveling through India. A beautiful man who did a lot of missions there, he said so many people wanted to know God's plan for their life so that they could consider it, not so they could actually do it. They just want to think about it. And that's most people in this life. Is that, what's God's plan for my life? Oh, wow, that's kind of interesting. not my plan, right? But that's because there's also a misunderstanding, the paradox, which is what he offers. Many times the world would say that's a loss, but it's actually a gain. That's where your fulfillment is. That's where that's where you will move into the truest expression of who you are. Okay, so now, part two. So is that a good enough recap? Mm-hmm. You feel caught up to speed for new people listening to this today. Okay, so new information. Okay, now here's one thing too. When we talk about how to change your life, well, one aspect of all of this is that life itself is change. So no matter what happens, things will be changing. They will change regardless. If you can go back, how many of you have gone back to a place you grew up in, or you spent a lot of time, or you had some experiences, you go back to it and it's changed. It didn't stop, it kept moving, life has changed. Even if you don't want it to, things change. The environment changes, the feelings of certain things change, relationships change, people change, everything changes. So when we start talking about how to change your life, this is you having an active role in your destiny and your trajectory, understanding that everything else is around you is going to be shifting and moving as well during all of this. So you may not be able to, have a lot to say or do with the larger scope. Maybe you will. Maybe you do a ton in that regard. But things are going to be shifting externally, and internally is the place where you can change your response and choose how you want to respond to things as life continues to go on. So there was that old saying, life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you respond to it. You know, there is that element of, you know, how you respond to certain things. You can see the life and the eventualities of life as opportunities for growth, or, oh my gosh, woe is me. You know, you can approach things in a certain manner. So you've seen people that have a good attitude, a good way that they approach and they respond. So, but there are a lot of things going on around us at any given time. But when it comes to your journey, there are some things that you can do to positively set the course for your journey despite all the changes, so that that which comes back in your life and in your world is in line with what is your intention and your purpose. All right? Okay, so life is change. And then another part of this is life is also a journey. You know, now there's a reason why even in our bodies we're made this way. We've got a beautiful tree outside with massive roots. That thing has never moved anywhere in the last 100 years, right? But you've gone all over the place. Each one of you has gone. Your body's made the way that it's made because you were made to take a journey in this form. If you were meant to be stagnant, you would have come in here as a tree. You know, you would have come in here as a tree, and that would have been your experience, and you would have lived your entire life as a tree. You were made to journey. And in fact, you were made to journey for very long distances. You know, in your physical being, you were made to journey for very long distances. Likewise, your physical being is a representation of also your mental being and your spiritual being. So you were made to take a journey. And that was part of what happened when you came into this life in this manifest form, was to take a journey. Now, being the case that life is a journey, and you were created and came into this form to take a journey, when we start talking about life being a journey and the rest of it, and the intelligent design that's even there with the human body made to travel, so your feet, your eyes, your muscles, your respiratory, your sweat glands, all the things that come into your being, made to do, to make a journey. Before you set out on that journey, before you go on that journey, what are some things to do? So now we're in part two. So here's part two, is before you set out, right? So now we know where the plans are. Now, what is the preparation you're going to make to be able to do and to be able to carry out those plans? So the first one is going to be, before you set out on this journey, drop the weights. So if you're going to take a long journey, the last thing that you want to be doing is carrying with you that which does not serve you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so before you start out, the last thing you want to do is carrying with you that which does not serve you. So, what are some weights? What are some things? Now, what is the purpose of a weight? What is the purpose of an anchor, for example? What does it do? What does an anchor do?
Keep you in place.
It keeps you in place. So if you're going to anchor a boat, the reason that you're anchoring a boat is to keep it from going anywhere. Now, if you want to go on a journey, you've got to either drop the anchor and cut it away, or you have to pull it up and put it in the boat. Now, in this case, you need to be cutting these things away because you don't want to carry it with you, because it's a very expensive process to carry it with you. When you've done any postage and you're sending something somewhere, you know how much extra you pay for weight. You know, to send something somewhere, it is down to the grams of however much something, how many ounces, how many pounds, how many grams. You will pay a premium for the extra weight, so you make sure that whatever you are sending to somebody is worth the weight. When we talk about something being worth the cost, well, is it worth the weight? You know, is what you're carrying worth the weight in your life? Now, here's some things that are weights that you can consider cutting away. Well, one is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a weight on your life. And what does it do? Whenever you have something that is there, that has been in your journey, been in your past, and it is there on your life, what does that do? Anytime, where does it take you? Right back to where you were, and to the trauma of that incident, the trauma of that situation, and the rest of all that happened there, that takes you back to that place, and you are stuck there. With all of that experience now, it keeps you there, keeping you from then moving forward in whatever else it is that life is supposed to take you forward in. If you're going to do a hiking trip and you've got a 80-pound pack, do you want 40 of those pounds being your dumbbells from your house? No. So, but what we do in our mental state and in our spiritual state is we do exactly that. We fill up our pack with 40 pounds of dead weight. Because what is that doing? Well, that's your mental space. That is your mind, which has limited focus. You can only focus on X amount at a given time in your front mind that's there. Well, what is half of that being taken up with? Whatever that unforgiveness is and the replay of that. Now, the nature of that then is that that becomes paralysis for everything else, soaks up bandwidth, soaks up your mental state, your mental capacity, and cripples you in your journey before you even get going any further. So, here's something too. The nature of the human state is we tend to not let these things go, because that's another place where... So now how do you forgive that which is seemingly very difficult to do? Well, the answer for that one is bringing this before the Most High, and at least, if nothing else, setting your will to do that which you cannot do in yourself. So when you make that decision in yourself to choose to forgive, beyond the feeling, beyond the rest of it, and letting go of that and making that choice, now you're putting also that in His hands to allow Him to do that work in and through you. So you now give Him the ability to do in you what you cannot do apart from Him. So that's, but what that does is you now allowing, see what happens, most people, they're hurt and on a natural level, there's a legitimacy for their anger, their being upset, you know, don't you know what happened? And you know what? Probably on a certain level, they're probably, sure, there's a reason for it. There'd be plenty of other people that say you're absolutely fine, you can, but who's being hurt every day? It's you. You're the one that's suffering every day as a result of that unforgiveness. So when you choose, because you're the one that's now reliving that thing again and again, and that weight is weighing your life down, it's not serving you. When you choose to let it go, and you're allowing for that to be let go, what's happening is that you are now opening yourself up for that work of the Spirit of the Most High within you to then change the paradigm and change your way that you relate to your experience of life. Now there are places there for Him to do something in you that you cannot do for yourself, right? So that is a weight that all of us, in the human experience, everybody's going to have to do this at some point. Because all of us have, that is life. You know, in a 3D reality, people step on each other's toes. In a 3D reality, bad things happen, things come up. And sometimes people, even maybe it's not even something, they may just have thought something happened. It may be even a misconception. Whatever it is, let that go. Right? But in doing that, before you set out, you're now making sure that that which you carry with you is not that which does not serve you. Here's another thing that you can drop. Drop the false expectations. There's another one. How many times in our lives do we end up bringing in all of these other expectations and we bring them into our journey, and now when expectations aren't fulfilled, all of a sudden now you've got a problem. And what does it do? It throws off your journey. It throws off everything else. We have to leave space for things to be what they are and for people to be who they are. And what you can do is, well, at least bring the best version of yourself into those situations. And if expectations are met or exceeded, be pleasantly surprised, right? Another thing for you that you can drop before you start is the bad thinking, is the bad confessions. You know, there is an element, as a man speaketh in his, as a man believes in his heart, so he speaks. So when you believe something in your heart and you say it out loud, what you're doing is you're giving life to that, you're giving resonance to that, you're giving power to that in your own expressions. You know, Jesus said, you know, he would speak and people would be healed, right? You know, the go back to the start of the book, let there be light and there's light. So there's a resonance that comes when you put, when you speak that which is within you and you bring it into this reality. So why are you cursing your own life? Why are you speaking against yourself? Why are you, you're becoming your own enemy by giving life to that which is not true and that which is not in line with your destiny and your reality? Yes, sometimes we get frustrated. Find another way to reference your frustration. Find another way to reference that which you're working on and working towards. If you say, I will never do this, or I will, then you are now speaking that to make sure that, that you will never do that. You see what I'm saying? Right? So you're giving life to something that you do not want in your life. So before you set out, speak, know what the journey is that you're going to want, but speak good confessions over your own life. There is power in that, and it's not just, this is not just positive thinking. This is actually because of the nature of you being made in the image and the likeness of the Most High, being a representation of the Most High here in this paradigm, in this construct. He creates, and so do you. So why create failure, death, destruction, and your own misery? Why not speak life, abundance, peace, and the manifestation of all that you know to be true? You know? But this takes a little discipline. And this is also why the enemy always works to get control of your confessions and to get you to speak and to create. Because the enemy of your soul has no life in him, nor can he create. So he needs to hijack you to create through you. So for him to create through you, you have to give him permission to create through you. So just don't give him that permission. All right. So, drop the weights. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As you think in your, as you speak that which is over yourself, look at, write these things out for yourself, speak them over your life, know it, believe it, move in that. Okay? Okay, so if life is a journey, here's another one that you can do to make sure when you're looking to change your life and looking for the direction, here's another part that is going to help you in that journey. Is the second one, at this one, is assess your traveling companions. All right, assessing your traveling companions. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. And I know, I still like the paper Bibles. Yeah. The electronics are... Okay, Proverbs 13 says, and verse 20 says, he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So walk with the wise and you will be wise yourself. Also, if you walk with an idiot, you know, that's going to rub off on you as well. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character. So what happens basically is whoever you bring into your circles, whoever you bring into your life, whoever you bring into your world, iron sharpens iron, we've all heard that. Well, iron can also be used to blunt iron pretty well too, right? It just depends on the angle, depends on the interaction. So in that regard, you know, it's, think about your company. And so now too, when we spoke about the last one of dropping the weights and the bad confessions from yourself, well, think about the confessions that come to you from those that are around you. Because they speak life or death into your world as well. So you may believe something for yourself and you're working to pursue that, but then when those that are in your circles are cursing you or are speaking death, so when you say, hey, I've got this great idea, I want to go and make this, oh, you can never do that. What is that? What does that do right there? That is a wet blanket on your life and your journey and your experience right then and there. And they can do it as blatantly and overtly as that, or they can do it extremely subtly. But there is a spirit behind that. And many times too, when you start doing that which others either will not, cannot, or choose not to, that instead of it resonating inside themselves and saying, wow, I could do something different too, instead they want to bring you down rather than come up. So if your journey and your plan in changing your own life is to come up, then look for those that want to come up as well, raising that frequency, raising that bar, going up to the next level, going up to the next part of your journey and your plan is to be honest about that. You know, one time there was it's an interesting drill you can do, but just sit down and think of everybody that's in your life at a given time. Just write their names down, people that you spend your time with, either, you know, virtually or in person. And then just ask a very simple question. Does this interaction with this person, do I feel drained or do I feel filled, you know, encouraged, built up from after I spend time with them? And if you just stop, you'll be surprised where people end up in just that evaluation of that. And, you know, sometimes you got to ask that of yourself too. You know, are you draining people? What corrections have to happen in your own world so that you can be building people up as well? But when you start removing from your life and your journey that which is draining your power, your energy, your experience, and your ability, when you start removing that from your journey, you are now ensuring the likelihood that you will be able to do far more by having traveling companions with you in the journey that are on your side and are with you in that process. There was another story that's coming to mind with back to that book that I referenced last week. There's two travelers were going through the forest, and they came across a bear. And quickly, the first traveler quickly ran up the side of a tree and hit himself up in the tree. When the second traveler, who wasn't as fast, he laid down on the ground and pretended he was dead. Now the bear approached the second traveler. This is in that book, Tara. He approached the second traveler, and instead of mauling him, he went down, whispered in the traveler's ear, and then turned around and went away and left. And then the guy comes down from the tree, and he says, and this guy's just pondering and thinking about what he said, and they both start walking again. And he keeps asking, what does he say? What did he say? What did the bear say? And finally he says, the bear said, never travel with somebody that runs away at the first sign of danger. So you know, when there's life and there's adversity, thank you. When there's life and there's adversity, who's going to run, or who's going to be there with you when things get tough? The journey is not. There's a lot of fair weather fans. There's a lot of people when things are going well that are there. They're there to help you spend the money. They're there to help you, you know, use up the time. They're there when things are going good. But what happens when the journey gets rough? What happens when there's a challenge along the way? Now, who's that person that's by your side? So you want to make sure, assess your traveling companions. And this is why, too, before you set out, you got to assess yourself. Make sure you're that person that's also going to be there as well, so that you're not the one running up the tree, right? This is an honest assessment inside of people's own life and their own world. If you want to be able to go far, you need to be considering that for yourself. But when it comes to the people that are in your world, let them be people that are speaking life into you and those that will be with you. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together, least they be agreed, right? How can you do a journey with somebody unless you're in agreement of where you're going? How can you progress in life unless you're both on the same page? There is a whole concept of being equally yoked. Well, what happens when you take a really strong animal and yoke them with a really weak one? Well, what ends up happening when they're trying to go, what do they do? They end up in a circle. They just go in a circle because one is going to be going with more strength than the other one, and you will end up in the circles of life. When you are yoked with people that are unequally yoked with you, you will end up, your life will go in circles. And you've seen it enough, and then people wonder, why am I still doing the same thing again and again and again? Why do I have the same pattern again and again in my life? Well, it's because you're not in agreement with those you're traveling with. Secondly, you're not yoked with those that are in the same place and have prepared themselves for the same things that you have. Meaning, you're going to end up in a circle. You're going to be right back to where you started. And once you come right back to that place, you're like, how did I end up here? Well, you started your journey, but you started without the things necessary to make it to your destination. So start out how you want to finish up. Right? Start out how you want to finish up. The third one is, so first one was you've got to drop the weights. You've got to assess your traveling companions, right? And because once you've started, once you've got going, part of the reason is it's tougher to make changes once you get into certain things. Once you've signed on the dotted line, it's very difficult. You know, you want to make those decisions early on, save yourself, right? Save yourself some time and some energy. Okay, and third one is prepare yourself in your being. So before you start out on your journey, prepare yourself in your being, physically, mentally, spiritually. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Okay, so the fact that you are, and in this regard, again, back to more of a marathon, a longer distance race, you know, you can't just jump into a marathon like that, right? If any one of us, unless you have been preparing yourself to some degree. When you prepare yourself for a race, you're much better when you do the race. So if you are going to run the race of life, take your time to prepare yourself for the race. So there are things that you can do mentally, there's things that you can do spiritually, and there's things that you can do physically. You know, this is also one reason why in this world that we live in, that your body is under so much attack by, you know, malevolent forces that are around you, whether it's your food, your water, your air quality, the things that are bombarded against you, whether it's frequencies, whether it's just environmental toxins, so many things that bring down that level of your physical being, which will also then impact your spirit, will also impact your mind. You know, when you're sick, you can't think about much else, right? If you stub your toe, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about your toe. So so these attacks and these onslaughts that are against you, but there are things that you can also do to say, okay, recognizing that, right? Recognizing that there's a battle for your mind. Well, guard your mind, guard your heart. Scriptures tell you, guard your heart, because above all things, for out of it comes the issues of life, right? So you learn to guard your heart. You learn to be mindful of this is not something you're doing for anyone else. This is something you're doing for yourself, for your own journey, because of the merit and the value of doing it for your own journey, right? It's when it's for you. When you realize the value and the merit of it is for yourself and not for somebody else, then you realize that you're the one that benefits from it first, and all of what it now does for you in the rest of your journey. Now, here's something to also understand about this. Every one of these things that we've already discussed, it's the benefit in your life and in your world is exponential. Every time, it's not just a little bit, it's a lot. If you drop 40 pounds of weight out of your pack and you do nothing else, but how much further will you be able to travel when your body is 40 pounds lighter, right? That's just one. If you've got somebody by your side encouraging you rather than, you know, oh, I knew you were going to screw up, you know, but rather somebody saying, you know what, that's fine. It's just, you know, we're going to get past this. We're going to go, you got this. I'm with you. I got your back. You know, the difference between somebody being able to keep you going versus cutting you off at the knees. How many of you had a job where you can't wait till 5 o'clock rolls around to be done with your day versus, you know, you can't go to sleep at 2 a.m. because there's still more in your mind and you're so encouraged by what you're doing, right? You know, so it's not, it's, there's a lot of other pieces that come into this. Every one of these things is exponential in its ability to positively impact your journey. And the last one we're going to share with this one for today is number four, is to commit to the journey to yourself and to your companions and then follow through. So nothing in life happens until you commit. Now this is both good and bad. And this is something too where the world will tell you all the time, keep your options open, don't commit, you know, have all these. That's what the world does, right? Because there's power that comes when you commit to anything. Now, even if you've committed to the wrong thing, there's still power there. There's still, because why? Because you have learning lessons that happen. You go through the process, you fail, you fall, but you fall on your face. Fine. You now still are able to recognize, because you fulfill a cycle, and you realize, all right, I committed to the wrong thing. I can now, what did I learn from that? So if you fail to learn the lessons from your past, you're destined to repeat them. So now you learn the lesson, and then you commit the next time to the right thing. It's okay. You know, it's okay to mess up. But when you commit, there's power in that, because there's focus. You know where you're going. You know what you're doing. You're able to do that. Committing is a very powerful thing, and it also lets others know, you know, where you are going, and so that they also know, okay, this guy's committed. You know, what's the saying about bacon and eggs in the morning? You know, the difference is the pig is committed. So, okay, all right, a little off color there. All right, Luke chapter 14, verse 26 said, "If any man cometh to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now, this is one, just a reinforcement of the principle of taking an assessment, but then once you know that, making a decision and making a choice. And when you are going to go into something, the way that you're going to be able to complete it is by making that decision within yourself that you are going to fulfill and go forward and do whatever it is that is. So you've made that choice, and others can also know how to relate to that, and you're able to go forward. But you can't do it in half measures. You can't do life in half measures. And by trying to do it in half measures, everything is half-baked, including your life and your own journey. So, in that process and in that point, in conclusion for this one for today, part two in how to change your life, first part is knowing where the plans are. Second part is, now that the plans are being revealed, prepare yourself for that journey, right? So drop those weights, assess your traveling companions, prepare yourself in your being, and make your commitment for your journey. And with that, My time is up, so we will stop there for today. Let's just pray and we'll close, yeah? Okay. Okay, Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you for life and for breath, for all of your many blessings and for your word. And we just ask that your word and your truth would have a place in everyone's heart and everyone that listens and hears us this day. We just bless each and every one of us in Jesus' name. We bless each of us with the truth and with the realization of who we are and who we are in you and who we are in this life and in this time, in this manifestation. So we're grateful and we trust you, and in all things we go forward, we bless one another in Jesus' name and we go forward this day. Thank you. Thank you. All right.